Good morning. We'll call the October 22nd, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing on the agenda, Mr. Lawson, is approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Today we've got a few amendments to the agenda. We can strike under Hal Godwin, Deputy County Administrator, the wastewater agreement. We still need more time for that for Hunter's Walk. And we can strike every item under executive session and possible action on executive session.
Is personnel one of those items that are in executive session right now?
Let's see.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Personnel pending potential litigation.
Could I ask, after talking with our county attorney, could I ask that we leave that on? And I can go into further detail, but I'm thinking it best wait until we get into executive session.
Okay.
We will then ask for a motion to approve the agenda as amended, and the amendments are to take away Hal Godwin's report on wastewater agreement, Hunter's Walk, and to strike under executive session, strike pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of October 15th. Any corrections or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved as read. As we read them. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Mr. President, there is none.
Any correspondence from council?
I have something.
Mrs. Deaver.
Tonight there is a meeting of the Pedestrian Safety Task Force at 7 p.m. at the Rehoboth Beach Convention Center, and the public is invited. And that's headed by House Speaker Pete Schwarzkopf. Also, I was notified that the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition will be at the Circle in Georgetown this Friday to provide mammograms on the state's mobile health screening van. Senator Tom Carper is planning to stop by around noon to tour the van and speak to staff members. Public welcome.
Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Only one item under the County Administrator's report for today. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recently notified Sussex County officials of two proposed rules involving the Endangered Species Act. First, the service published a proposed rule to list the Rufa red knot as threatened under the ESA. And second, the service published a proposed rule to list the northern long-eared bat as endangered under the ESA. Each proposed rule has a 60-day comment period whereby the public can submit comments by accessing regulations.gov. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I would like to submit an application for funding for an upcoming county sewer district. In order to do this, I need authority to execute loan and grant applications for USDA Rural Development, the State of Delaware, and other government entities on behalf of Sussex County. This is the same authority granted to previous finance directors. As a continued checks and balance, the county administrator will still be responsible for signing all bond documents. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council hereby authorizes Gina A. Jennings, Director of Finance for Sussex County, to execute loan and grant applications for USDA, Rural Development, the State of Delaware, and other government entities on behalf of Sussex County.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. I'll second. Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
That's your first one.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Continuation of public hearing, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you. This is the time and place for continuation of the public hearing on the ordinance to adopt Chapter 97 of the Code of Sussex entitled Excessive Dog Barking. And at this point, Mr. Godwin, I believe, invited Kent County SPCA to make some comments. I would like to point out that since this is a continuation of a public hearing, the public will be entitled to come forward, make any comments afterwards. Anything that was previously in the record from the first public hearing is still in the record and will remain in that record for consideration by County Council as just to be very cautious. This was advertised in the same manner as a public hearing would be, the original public hearing for this continuation, so that the public would know that they would have an opportunity to speak again at this point.
Mr. President and members of council, Mr. Moore, I'd like to ask you, I had planned on reviewing some of the other items that we, other discussions we've had. Is that okay? Is that appropriate in this
yes.
form? Okay, thank you. Before we get into the testimonies from our friends at the SPCA, I wanted to kind of give you a resume, if I could, of what we've done so far in the total scope of dog barking. This discussion began in February and May of 2006. There was a discussion brought forward at that time. We discussed that on June 11th of this year, and we also at that time reviewed Newcastle County and Kent County's noise ordinances, which contain therein requirements about animal noises and dog barking. We talked about that at that time. On June 11th of this year, Major Whipple and Leslie Persons also testified in front of you as to how they proceed with dog barking complaints and some of the rudiments of how they handle those type of complaints. We also discussed Newcastle County and Kent County's codes again. We also then met on July 16th of this year, and we discussed a draft ordinance that you had requested I draw up. We, legal counsel and I, put together a draft ordinance for your consideration, and in the discussions of that day, the council asked us to remove a couple of sections. One spoke about hours between 9 p.m. and 7, so we took that piece out so that the dog barking incidents are very clear when they will be. And also, they also wanted us to define more clearly overnight enforcement, how we would handle that. We brought back a second draft of the ordinance on July 30th of this year, and it was discussed. It had the two corrections in it that you had requested, and it was introduced by Councilmember Deaver. We had a public hearing, which is this is an extension of. That public hearing was on September 10th. In the public hearing, there were a couple of more concerns after some folks in the public had raised some questions, and council asked us to think about limiting our ordinance to areas that are not part of a subdivision, and it was also a question of could we not exempt homes that are more than 1,000 feet apart. So with those two thoughts, we are now what I would like to do now, if I could, is so we sort of are fresh on all how all this works. Let's just go through the ordinance that we have, the final draft that we have now in front of us for your consideration. Not necessarily the final draft, but the most recent draft. First of all, the title of this chapter would be Excessive Dog Barking. For the purposes of this chapter, the terms below are hereby defined as follows: dogs, all canines, which shall include male and female dogs, regardless of whether the dog has been spayed or neutered. The owner, any person who owns, keeps, harbors, or has in his or her custody or control of a dog. Dogs owned by a minor shall be deemed to be in the custody of the minor's parents, legal guardians, or head of household where the minor resides. What I'm trying to do here is just walk us through the ordinance. Now, the essence of this, excessive dog barking. Any dog that barks for a continuous period of 30 minutes or more is considered to be engaged in excessive dog barking. Ordinance requirements. This ordinance requires all dog owners to control their dog's barking and will be in violation of this chapter if their dog engages in excessive dog barking. Exceptions. Any dog that is deliberately provoked by a trespasser, be that a human or an animal, or is intentionally teased, is exempt from this code per that incident. Enforcement and jurisdiction. This ordinance shall be enforced by the Sussex County Constable or his designee. That would mean our constables in office or the folks that help us from the Kent County SPCA or whoever the constable designates. Complaints of excessive dog barking shall be accepted by the constable's office during its regular business hours of Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. This was an issue of some questions that we had through our hearing processes. So it defines that we'll take all of our calls during normal business hours. The constable or his designee shall conduct an investigation of excessive dog barking complaints in a timely manner. That means as soon as possible. As soon as your workload will allow you to go do an investigation on site, we'll have someone out there to do that. Next. The Justice of the Peace Courts in Sussex County shall have jurisdiction over all violations of this ordinance. Any person charged with a violation of this ordinance shall have such case adjudicated by the Justice of the Peace Court in Sussex County. Penalties. A person found guilty of violating any provision of Chapter 97 of the Sussex County Code by the Justice of the Peace Court shall be fined in accordance to the following schedule. Number one, first offense, $25 to $75. Second offense, $50 to $100. Number three, for the third offense and any other subsequent offenses, $75 to $150. B, if multiple violations occur within a 30-day period, the court may double the fine up to a maximum of $300. Section two, effective date. This ordinance shall become effective immediately upon its adoption. The synopsis of this bill is that this ordinance creates a new chapter 97 in the Sussex County Code, which defines excessive dog barking and creates enforcement provisions and penalties for failure to comply with this chapter. So what I've tried to do is bring you up to date as to what we've done over the last year, as far back as 2006. And we've been, we have refashioned the current bill ordinance to be in alignment with some of your questions and some of the questions from the public. If you have questions, mm-hmm. I'll try to answer them, or we can defer to Major Whipple.
Mr. Godman.
Yes, sir.
The last meeting we had, I thought it was 1 hour excessive barking. I didn't know it was a half an hour.
No, it's always been 30 minutes in all the drafts that we've had, Mr. Wilson. I'm sorry you were confused with that.
No, I wasn't confused. I still believe I heard 1 hour, but my son says I make mistakes too, so that's okay.
I'm sorry for that.
I got a question, sir. Always what seems to be the problem is the enforcement of it. And in the investigation clause there, where you have under enforcement and jurisdiction, where it says constable will conduct an investigation mm-hmm. in a timely manner. To go along with this, I would think that it would be necessary to have maybe an explanation, a definition again of what an investigation would be. And what I was thinking is if we do adopt this on our website, when the public does, you know, go to our website and wants to make a complaint, you know, that we ought to have also there maybe a policy of the expectations. What do they expect to, you know, get from the county's response? And first of all, our constables only work, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5, whatever it is, right?
8:30 to 4:30, yes.
Okay. And, you know, if the complaint, we could take them by email or letter or whatever, you know, what will happen next? And I think it would be nice to be, you know, a step-by-step process. Here's what to expect from the county on this. First of all, we're not going to be sending people out at night.
Correct.
Okay, I mean, I think that's a given right now because we don't have personnel at work at night to do this. So we need to, you know, explain all that. And I just think it would be nice to attach to it a policy. I don't think it needs to be in the ordinance, but I think a clear definition of what to expect when you make a complaint about a dog barking in your neighborhood and what the constable will do. Now, eventually at the end of maybe this definition, there could be something to say that after, you know, like we'll write a letter. I think Eddie said sometimes, a lot of times we write a letter or to these people, or we approach them somehow and tell them their dog's, you know, causing a disturbance. Many times it clears it up. Okay, well, you know, that could be part of it. But then if it doesn't clear up, there has to be, I guess, you know, something more stringent at the end. But I just think I read things like this, and it says an investigation, and as a public citizen, I would say, what the heck's that mean? You know, so maybe we could define what that would mean in a clear way, and the staff, I'm sure, could put something together. Say, here's what you shall expect under this ordinance.
So I think that's good. Those are good points.
Because I could live with the ordinance, but what I can't live with is when they start calling me up to say, I've made the complaint, the dog's still barking. You know, what are you doing? And at least we could say, here's what we do. This is what you can expect.
May I suggest, it may work in this fashion, that we would have on our website, I think that's a very good point about some sort of expected response. They've given us a complaint. They want to talk to the constable. it would probably be reasonable to have some expectation of a call back. They would get a phone call back by the end of the next workday,
right,
to take the information. I think that sounds reasonable. Maybe we could work something like that out.
Well, that's the big complaint with government. You know, what kind of response do you get? And
I think
if we...
That could be a matter of policy. As you said, not needed to be in the ordinance.
I mean, we first of all, there ought to be, here is our hours of enforcement. Mm-hmm. Don't expect somebody to show up at 9 o'clock when this dog's barking.
Right.
Here's how a complaint will be filed, mm-hmm, electronically or, you know, whatever. And then the expected response from the county. We're not going to haul the dog off somewhere.
Right. Well, as part of the investigation, we would have to take the complaint and then try to determine who owns the animal,
right,
and then make some contact with the owner to ask them, are they aware of their dog in this situation? I would think we would follow some sort of a policy similar to that, and we would spell it out in a fashion that makes sense to the,
right,
constituents, as well as makes sense for our staff to execute those responsibilities in a,
right,
timely manner in their schedule.
I think I brought that up before. Who's going to call the constable at 2 o'clock and send him out? Here's the thing about this. If the constable don't go out there and hear this dog barking, he cannot arrest this person. You can go to court and tell you what to. It's a hearsay case. That's all it is. At this point, the only one who can do the arresting is the one that's doing the complaining, and it will then become a civil case. It will not. The law enforcement officer at that time cannot do the arresting.
Right.
So here we are, stuck.
But
we've got to get our law enforcement officer go out and hear this dog barking, or it's a civil case.
I don't think so.
Mr.
No.
Wilson, I think that's a good point.
Think so.
But I think you'll hear testimony, as we did back in June, from the folks such as Major Whipple, who actually do this, and the other lady, Leslie Persons, who came from Kent County, told us that many times as they approach and discuss the issue with the dog owner, the problem is resolved pretty quickly, and very rarely do they wind up in a court situation.
Well, I'm understanding that. I understand we can solve it by probably just having the constable go talk to this person.
Right.
But when it comes to taking that person to court, it won't,
right,
stand.
But, Sam, an ordinance like this could help establish a paper trail or of complaints that would help assist somebody if they did want to go take it to court. I don't think the county maybe,
sure,
gets involved in going to court over dog things. But, in other words, it would document that these people have complained to the county. Here's what we've done. We've written them a letter, or we've made an approach, and it wasn't resolved. But like I said, most of the time we do see some kind of action out of it. And
enforcement in the court system, I would guess, would be a small portion of all the dog investigation, all dog barking complaints we investigated.
Just knowing it's on the books is
knowing
make
that there's
a big
correct
difference.
Knowing that we have a law and that we can discuss the law with the perpetrator, I think we'll solve the vast majority of the complaints without ever winding up in JP court. That's just my feeling. But I think that we may be able to, if you'd like to hear from Major Whipple,
yes,
he might be able to give you some more detailed answers on the enforcement. Major
Whipple? Put him on board.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
Major Brian Whipple with Delaware Animal Care and Control in the Kent County SPCA.
Okay, you've heard some of the discussion. Can you kind of give, and the council had desired you to come forward and kind of give the procedures as you see it and how you've had to deal with it?
Sure. Absolutely, and where we in Newcastle, where we do enforce this barking dog ordinance, we don't respond overnight. We get that call, say, at 2 in the morning. We have a dispatcher that's on 24 hours a day. We note that in our system. The next morning, the first officer that's on duty will respond out to that location. If the person's not home, they get a note on the door. They'll get, you know, basically a copy of the ordinance, say, hey, here's your warning. We're just trying to educate you. You may not know you're not home. Your dog is barking and it's causing a problem. Or, you know, and that goes on throughout the day as well. Same kind of response. The when we do get into court with these kind of things, it's very rare. The idea of having it on the books, as you stated, is a big deterrent for folks. They know that, okay, now there is something that can happen if I allow my dog to disturb the peace and to cause an issue for someone's next door life, not being able to do as they want to do when they're in their own property. We don't, in Sussex County, we've gotten around 60 barking dog complaints since January of this year. So there's, and without having any kind of enforcement on the other side, we can just say, you can't do this. You're causing a problem for your neighbors, but there's nothing else that we can do, which doesn't help the neighbor. It doesn't help anybody's quality of life that's in that neighborhood. So that's the idea of trying to get out there, educate the person, stop it before it gets to a bigger problem where there is a neighbor feud that begins. And, you know, that's really the idea of that. You know, and again, it's an education piece. It's better to get out there and stop it when it starts.
So how far can this dog live from his neighbor before it becomes not considered a nuisance?
You know, in Newcastle, there is no definition of that. In Kent, I don't believe there is either. If it's the dog is causing this problem, they get that they're in violation of the law. There isn't a space between houses. Things are a lot tighter space-wise up there. So it's, you know, that's why there really isn't a space between each house.
I'm thinking of farms that's got a, you know, they're at least a mile apart. Mm-hmm. Would you consider that a nuisance?
No, I wouldn't imagine there's a neighbor that's going to complain mm-hmm. in that type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's happened. I didn't know if it can be enforced at that far or what. I didn't.
I wouldn't say. I mean, it's not a victimless crime, so there has to be somebody that's going to step forward and say, I'm having a problem with this. Okay. If it does end up in court, then you have that person that's there to testify to that I have this problem. This dog is causing my issue, and this is the owner that's not correcting that problem.
So it goes back to a civil case, doesn't it? Because you're not there to hear the dog bark, so it has to go back to the one that's done the complaining.
Once it's gone through the investigation, if our officers aren't able to hear it bark, and we've got, say, 10 complaints or 8 complaints, whatever it might be, about this one dog from maybe not just that one person, there's multiple people being affected by it, then we're going to ask everybody to come testify because it is on the books. They're eyewitnesses to that crime.
Well, I understand if you got more than witnesses, because usually two people will rule one in a court.
Mm-hmm. How many complaints? Yeah.
It's on one and one. What do you do with that?
That we're going to try to figure it out before it gets to that, but okay. If it does get to court, it's going to be, we'll talk to the Attorney General's office, we'll talk to the county, and if that's the route that we need to go, then that's the route we're going to go.
How many complaints typically do you take before something happens? And another question I got. Mm-hmm. Of the 60 complaints you've had in Sussex County, how many were on large parcels as opposed to, say, in subdivisions or where, as you referenced, Newcastle County, things are closer? I know in certain parts of the county, things are closer, and then we have a large rural areas. Were any farms of the 60?
To my knowledge, no. Unless, you know, there's usually not anybody. If you have a big parcel of land, there's not usually a lot of people that are living close by.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, that's not, of the 60 complaints, that wasn't a typical. So it was more in a subdivision or a closer
correct.
What about in condominiums? That
condominiums
very
and
close.
Developments, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, places like that where they're a little bit closer together.
And how many complaints does it take to get action? I mean, is it...
Well,
2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Usually, we're gonna proceed with action after 3. It's kind of like
okay.
you go out, you give the warning, you do the education piece, then you go back but out
is,
and say,
is
"Listen."
Let me ask you: is that written anywhere, or is it just?
That's the policy to proceed with in our SOPs essentially.
Okay.
Our standard operating is go out and do it this way because we want to educate first. It's
okay,
not
right,
always
okay.
going out strong arm and try to do it that way. And usually, the second complaint is okay. Now we're here, we've got this going on, we're going to start questioning other neighbors to see if they are having the same issue. Normally the person that's calling in that complaint is going to say, well, Joe next door is also having, but he just hasn't called. So we're going to talk to them as well. Then if a third one comes in and we do have confirmation from other people or just a single person, then we're going to proceed with issuing a citation and having them come into court.
The way we have modified it potentially. How have you had a chance to compare that to the others in the other counties? Do you know? I know it's recently, but.
Yeah, this is actually, today's the first time that I
right.
heard what it
oh,
is.
Okay.
And
you
I actually thought it was
chance.
Very well written. I think that actually is easy to enforce and easy to deal with when people are on the streets, for sure.
All right, thank you.
Question? Mr. Phillips.
How many, say this year in Newcastle County, have ended up in court?
Out of 279 that we've had in Newcastle, there's, I want to say, maybe around 30 or 35 that have actually gone to court.
And once it got to court, how many convictions or what's your record at court?
35. We haven't lost a barking dog case.
Okay. So everyone you've taken to court. And what is the typical penalty?
The fine is basically, it's signed by the judge, and it is in between that 25 to 50, 25 to 100 frame.
Of those 35 that you took and 35 that you won, what was the body of evidence on most of them?
It boiled down to either the officer witnessing the barking or eyewitness testimony.
What's the breakdown on that, if you could?
Not positive, honestly.
Half and half, maybe?
It could be. It could be. It could be maybe 60-40, somewhere in that general
so
city.
So at least 10 went to court with just a neighbor or an eyewitness, not a law enforcement, not an officer. And of those 10 or so, the judge still ruled in favor of the county.
Correct.
And convicted the barking dog owner.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of it is we asked them to keep a log of the infraction. They're writing down dates, times when this is occurring. So they can say, I can truly testify that on this date and time, this is what that affected me during this period.
Of those 35, did any of them turn out to be repeat offenders?
No.
Definitely was effective. Did any of those folks use their cell phone video cameras as evidence?
Some did. We try not to encourage that too much. I mean, it is helpful. Pictures obviously speak louder than words, but
the audio, I would think, would be the key to this.
Yeah, we don't want people to, you know, infringe on privacies when they're doing that as well. So we say if you do record it, it is more of a sound type of an issue. Sometimes you can't even see where the dog is barking from either. So having that sound does help.
And his agency is going to be the one enforcing this?
I would think, I'm sure our constables are very, very busy, so probably, yes, it's going to be
You would be our designee, is the way that...
Yes, you'd be the designee by our constable's office. Is that correct, Mr. Parker?
Yes.
I'm convinced.
I did take one call. I don't know how many others are out there, but the call was from someone who's neighbor across the street has been asked over and over again. The gentleman has asked them, please stop the dog barking all night. And the response was, too bad. And it was kind of vindictive, you know. And there could be some of that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, with, say, in the Newcastle one, if a dog barks for 10 minutes, you know, incessant barking, then they're in violation of it. There's people that I know of that will have their dog bark for 9 minutes and 50 seconds and take it inside just to be that way. It does happen, but it happens in anything else that's out there as well.
When Vance was talking about repeated offenders, did you mean the people or the dog?
Well, they're usually a repeat offender, the dog is, because we've gone out a couple of times.
I don't know. I'm just trying to find out who's a repeated offender.
Are there any more questions? This was the witness that we specifically asked for the hearing to be continued for. Are there any more questions to this witness prior to opening up to the public?
I would just like to know if he thinks we need this.
I absolutely do.
He needs a job.
That's job helpful, yes.
He has a job.
Bigger job.
I know. I do have just one question, and I'm sure this is covered this way, but I know it says exemptions. Any dog that's thoroughly provoked by a trespasser, being a human or animal. How about hunting dogs? I'm sure sometimes they get close to people's developments or whatever, depending on where they are.
Sure. They're in the process of hunting. They're not going to be something that we would consider a violation.
Okay. All right.
Now, if they're kenneled before they go hunting and they're just barking and barking and barking.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I have more trouble with the boomers going by.
The what?
The boomers with the big boom boxes.
Boom boxes.
They actually right on my windows or anything else more than dogs do. So.
You just don't like this type of music you're playing.
I thought you were talking about baby boomers. I don't. Baby boomers.
If there's no other questions for this witness. Okay. Then, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address this issue? Yes. You need to come forward. Give us your name and address, please.
My name is Pat Fish. I live in Deerwood. About 10 years ago, I moved here to Sussex County 11. I moved in with my dog, who was a pup at the time, and I was totally in the wrong. I had her outside. I was new, learned what she barked. She barked at the neighbor. Instead of approaching me, whatever is the case, the neighbor hates dogs and trees. He comes out and he does this to my dog. Now, he did this Every time I took care of the problem, I apologized, and it hasn't been a problem in 10 years. Every time my dog sees that man, she barks. And she's in a fenced-in yard, and he hates dogs and trees anyway. I'm asking you, Sussex County, I know excessive dog barking is a problem. This is one of the greatest places on earth to live. Please do not encumber us with laws. Consider an arbitrator. Consider someone from the Sussex, from the SPCA. Maybe have, and what are you going to do when the person abuses it? I'm pretty sure my neighbor's going to jump right on this law. Now, she never barks more than half an hour, and she even runs from them, and I pull her in, but she has never stopped barking, and I'm sure that my little story is not alone.
You have a very smart dog.
No, she don't like this guy. No, no, and it never does she bark even more than 5 minutes, but I am asking you, we have low taxes, we have a beautiful community, do not encumber us with laws that should be, consider forced arbitration. Consider the SPCA. Listen, you have got to hire, you got to pay the money, and we'll have some, because dogs bark for a reason. They could be abused.
Well, that's exempt.
Thank you.
Actually, that's exempt. Especially that would be exempt sure. Under the law.
And next person that would like to speak, just come forward, please. Yes. Yes, and when you do, come forward and give your name, address, and please sign the log that's up front, too, at the podium.
Hello, my name is Carol Barford, and I live in Rehoboth in Stable Farms, right off Country Club Road, 36824 Winter Circle. We have lived there, I'm going to say, since 2003. When we bought the house, there was no development behind us. Since then, they have built Kinsale Glen. We must have gotten the worst homeowner that could have bought in there. Since 08, I've got at least 10 letters here, 10 letters from neighbors. Since 08, I have tried repeatedly to talk to this neighbor. He is directly behind us. They have 3 dogs and 1 cat. 1 dog is the main issue here. I can't even go out into the backyard. As soon as I touch the handle on my screened-in porch, as a matter of fact, I brought with me a video, audio, of 33 minutes barking 2 weeks ago. I have letters from neighbors, you know, back here. Quite a few of them couldn't come today. I've spoken to the man. He even came out to me one day and said, oh, guess what? I just bought Ellie a bark collar. Ellie has never had the bark collar on. I went over 2 weeks ago and spoke to his neighbor, who is 2 doors from him. He is the Homeowner Association of Kinsale Glen. He agreed with me. He's heard it. He has 2 dogs. Of course, he keeps his in, or they come in and he brings them back and forth. He said, I hate to tell you this, Carol, but they are very unresponsive people. And I said, meaning that? He says, let me just put it to you this way. They have 1 friend in the development. And I said, well, you know, this is disturbing my quiet enjoyment of my home. I can't even have a party. I can't have anything. My company, we can't sit out on our deck. So I am begging you all to please pass this law. Now, as far as farms and whatnot, I can't speak for that. But if anybody has a home that is in a subdivision or even relatively close that has a dog that barks for, you know, I'm not talking a couple minutes or whatever, you know, because dogs are going to bark. That's their nature, you know, at a bird or a squirrel or whatever. And, I love animals, and I am an animal lover. But this dog, she's vicious also. I have a cat, so when I let the cat out, and the cat sits and looks at the dog, the dog wants to go through the fence. They work all day. They leave the dogs out on their deck, and they have a screened-in porch. dogs meander in and out all day long. Anything that moves, the dogs bark. Cut the grass, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. If you have never experienced it, you don't want to experience it. It just raises my blood pressure. I can't stand it. And I just hope that we can pass this ordinance. I really, really do. Like I said, I've spoken to this man and his wife several times. I've even called their telephone while they're not home and took my phone out and let them hear their own dogs barking, barking, barking. And I get nothing, nothing. I've asked them to come over and talk to me. I've asked them to return a phone call, nothing. So, again, I'd love for you all to read these letters that I have here. I'd love to leave them here with Ms. Deaver or whoever. But I wish, I really am, we've even considered selling the house. Mm-hmm. Because I just can't stand it. But why should I do that? I've called over the past, six, 7 years since this has been going on. I've called the SPCA. They can't do anything. Rehoboth, not the city police, of course, the state troopers. They can't do anything. I've gone down the chain making phone calls. Nobody can do anything. It's like I'm from Maryland, Catonsville. I've never heard of such
That's
a thing.
To say
that they
that.
Have. Oh, sorry. All right. But I'm saying.
They don't like that.
Okay, but I'm saying, you know, before I moved up here.
They don't like that.
I'm sorry. But anyway. in Sussex County, they have the ordinance or an ordinance for dog barking.
You mean Newcastle?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
What I say?
Mr. Wilk, would you be able to help them from what you've heard?
I'm teasing you about that, Marilyn.
I do think that we could be of assistance in this type of an issue for sure. And again, that's just having that physical presence of somebody going out there and not stopping going out there until the issue is resolved.
Under the ordinance as we have it written, you feel confident you could help them?
Correct, especially with the evidence that she's speaking of. I don't think that would be an issue whatsoever.
All right. Make it 36 then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always your councilman.
Yeah, is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? You've raised your hand too.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know why.
Good for you. Okay. Yes. Hi, my name's Connie Ferrara, and I live at the same address as Miss Barford. And I would just like to mention to everyone that the excessive dog barking noise does affect your quality of life. While you're in your house, you touch your door handle, the dog barks. It keeps barking. You walk out in the yard, it barks. You're afraid to walk out of your house. And when I bought my house, I understand I'm buying a bundle of rights, which is one of the rights, is quiet, peaceful enjoyment. We're certainly not getting that. And I just beg you all to pass this law so we can get some action, so we can live peacefully in the home. Thank you.
Thank you. Be sure and sign your name.
You live in a development?
Pardon me?
Yes. A neighbor of the last lady.
Yes.
You live in the development, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And was that sold to you by just one developer?
Yes.
How come the developer didn't put that law in the ordinance when he built you that home?
I know. I wonder that, too.
Because I'm going to tell you why. I have a small development. If I have a dog problem, I don't look for the county to take care of it. I go over and say, look, get this dog quieting down, or you're going to have to get rid of the dog, or you're going to have to move one to the other.
Well,
I never came to think because one or two dogs in the county is a problem that we just go make a whole lot of laws for. I don't know what. We just end up harming more people. I can understand your problem. I hear that all the time because people want to sleep during the day. Some works at night. But somewhere along the line, somewhere in this development, you people already got together and made an ordinance that said this. Mm-hmm. We cannot put up with this. If you all got together and had a vote, is there someone there heads up the organization or what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be more appropriate in your reasonings if you were voting for or against the argument instead of a dialogue with the witness at this point, or the person testifying.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to find out what
they're
doing.
Well, developers don't hang around.
See, what's a little what I'm trying to comprehend is disturbing the peace is disturbing the peace.
Sure.
And certainly these dogs are disturbing the peace. So I don't understand, and I pray that we get a law passed.
What would you do if you had a guy down, a lady down the street that's playing her, playing these loudspeakers real loud? Have you got a law for that noise?
Well,
but he lives in a different development. Yeah, these are two different developments.
Excuse me. No comments from...
Okay, again, I would say disturbing the peace is disturbing the peace.
Seems like you need a noise ordinance or something other. Really, I mean, to cover it all. Because I tell you, those things just bug me to death. I just hate that.
We're talking about dogs today.
I'm not talking about dogs, but it's noise. It's what bothers you, really.
Well, could I ask a question? If someone had their speakers real loud blasting, I mean, just top... Is there a law against that? Would you call that disturbing the peace?
Well, if I had it in my park, I wouldn't. I'd go over and say, hey, I hear these things half a mile away. I don't want to hear them.
No, but I'm talking about a law.
Is there a law? I would say any kind of noise. Any kind of noise that is a nuisance. It's a nuisance noise.
Right.
And if you just make one law, you haven't make another law for noise. You got to watch, you know, it's one law. It's like, well, I could say some other instance, but I don't want to take ever's time here because we pay them big bucks.
Well, again, I hope that you realize the quality of life that people have to endure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next person, please.
Best cows. We get a ordinance against cows.
You're not kidding. They blew their horns, too, you know.
Okay.
The name hello. Address, my name is Mary Lou Ritson. I live in Lewis, actually Plantations East. I live in a condo. People upstairs have two dogs. They're wonderful people, really nice people. And they both work. And when they go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, the dogs start barking. And they don't stop until these people come home. And I'm there trying to have a decent life. They put them on a screened-in porch, open the windows. The whole neighborhood hears these dogs. They might stop for a little wee bit, then a UPS truck comes, and then they're off and running again. And we talked to the people upstairs, and they say, well, that we both work. Well, last week they went to a wedding, and they didn't get home till 12:30. The dogs barked the whole night long. You couldn't watch TV, nothing. So please, please pass this law. I mean, it's just not the quality of life that we have is awful. It's just awful. I moved here from Pittsburgh a year ago, and I thought, this is Shangri-La. I loved it. It was beautiful, the ocean, everything. But I got to listen to this dog all day long, and they won't do anything about it. They will not. And when they're home, the dogs don't bark. They're quiet. It's peaceful. And today they have painters, and they have taken the dog somewhere else yesterday and today. It was heaven. It was heaven. I said, oh, my God, this is what heaven is. And it's just wonderful. But please pass this ordinance. Please.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you do with barking dogs in Pittsburgh?
They have an ordinance, believe me. They're like the Steelers.
Steelers. Down here. Ship them to Delaware.
Or did you leave Pittsburgh to get away from the barking dog?
Pardon me?
Or did you leave Pittsburgh to get away from the barking dog?
Barking dogs?
Mm-hmm. I said, did you leave Pittsburgh to get away from the barking
no,
dog?
No, I left Pittsburgh. Well, my husband passed away, and I have a son here, and that's why I moved here. And I love it. It's beautiful, but it just can't.
I know. I'm sort of kidding you a little bit.
I'm Carol Dads, and I live in the same condo unit as Mary Lou, and I've been there 10 years. I retired here, and it was very nice until these people moved in with their dogs. 2 years ago, I left a note on their door, and it's been constant ever since, and then I sent you all an email, and we have talked to the people, like Mary Lou said, and the man says, well, I'm sorry, we work all day, and I said, well, why do you have animals then? You know, it's not fair to them. They're either bored or lonely or something, 3.5 hours in the morning all night long. So I'm in favor of the ordinance as well.
Thank you.
Appreciate whatever you can do.
Mr. Kramer.
Looks like a junkyard dog.
That's right. I am a junkyard dog, and I'll bite your gasket in a heartbeat. Don't believe it? Try me. Now, the question I have, I only got one question. You showed me in that ordinance where that ordinance allows you guys to hire that guy to enforce the law. I don't think it does. I think you need to change the ordinance.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Moore?
Yeah.
Are you able to address that?
It indicates that the constable, and I'm looking for it now, the Sussex County constable or his designee. Mm-hmm.
The designee could be
whoever we have contract with.
Mr. Whipple.
If we had a contract with another party.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dean Costas. I live in the Plantations, the sister community to Mary Lou's community, Plantations East. And we've been there over 10 years. And initially, quite frankly, it was just a lovely place to move. If you've never been there, we invite you to come by and see us. We have a clubhouse, a pool, a tennis court, yoga, anything you like. And you can rent meeting rooms or the big room for weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever you like. I also take this opportunity to thank the council members. Because those of you I've called, you've answered. And those of you I've spoken to, you've been very gracious and very informative. So thank you for that. I have also personal experience, as my wife and son do, who live with me, concerning barking dogs. Plantations is located, as you might know, between Lowe's and 24. And there's a big kennel just as you approach 24 from Plantations, and many of the neighbors have tried to get some relief from that constant barking for years without any relief at all. The thing that I would like to share with you is a comment from our property manager, the gentleman that owns the Seascape Management Company, because in passing, I asked him over the months and years that we've been there, is there anything in our covenant, anything in our bylaws, anything in our rules or regulations that help us with barking dogs? And there is a phrase in there that addresses the situation, and supposedly it has the potential for enforcement if the barking is excessive. And excessive is a judgment call. And when I press him, he says, well, it really depends on if the people complain, and they complain often. And he said, you know, our community is a beautiful little community, but most of us are elderly women, widows, and bless their hearts, they don't want to complain. People move there because they're tired, they're old, they're sick, and they just don't want the strife. And they're just asking and praying for somebody, a third party, to come in and give them relief. Now, I volunteered to go chat with the barking dog people often, and as you've heard, you get a variety of answers. Some are fit to repeat, some are not. And sometimes they get a little testy. We have a serious barking situation now, and we have a serious situation with a dog that actually attacked one of the women. And I overheard the conversation. I was working in the yard, so I didn't witness it. But the lady was just terrified. And I told her, I will go with you to the police or wherever we need to go. And she said, I can't, because that man has marked me. And if I say anything, I know what'll happen. He'll just let that dog go. So there are many, many people, I would say most, that you'll never hear from. You know, they... as I say, mostly are alone, mostly are on their husband's pension, if they had one. Many of the men could not qualify for insurance, so they're struggling. They sit there with their little cat, their little dog. They take them out for a walk in hopes that nobody will confront them with a bigger, meaner dog. And when they rest at night, they also hope for a quiet night. And the people that violate this, I don't know what faith they are, but they certainly don't love their neighbors like themselves. And unfortunately, we need laws because, you know, it's too bad, but we have people among us that are lawless and could care less whether you're interrupted, whether you're disturbed, whether you're frightened or what. But I would like to read this note that I got from my property manager in closing, answer any questions you might have. It says, Dean, that's me, you inquired with me about whether or not barking dogs are problematic in the communities where we are property management representatives. I believe they manage about 41 properties in Sussex. I don't know how anybody does that, but that's what they do. While the problem obviously varies from community to community, it's fair to say that there is a consistent flow of complaints from residents concerning barking dogs. The two most common are when owners place pets on the back porch or in the yard for the day and the dogs bark with no one around to control them. And when tourists bring their pets to a new environment and then leave the pet while they go out for the day, the pets feel abandoned and will howl or cry for hours without stopping. This often causes other dogs in the surrounding area to begin to bark or cry. We receive complaints on a weekly basis concerning these issues, and then he signs his name, the company, and how to get in touch with him. I have a copy of each of, I think enough, I don't know about the staff, but I have a copy of this for the...
Into the record.
The record, if that's appropriate.
Sure.
And rather than go into the personal details of the things my family's actually experienced, but God is with us. One of the dogs did die. But I'm open to any questions that you might have. Thank you very much.
There's one thought.
Yes, sir.
You said something about the tourists coming down.
Yes, sir.
And they stay overnight.
Yes, sir.
How in the world would they ever control that?
We have dog daycare.
We just said a while ago. Yeah. I mean, our guy, he just testified a while ago. It's a consistent thing. And if you get three or four people complaining over time, then you go back.
Yes.
Well, if this dog comes down, we can't pay. I don't see how we can even consider that.
It's not overnight. I think the reference is
weekend. All right, weekend. How are you going to get this dog controlled on the weekend?
We have daycare, doggy daycare.
I'm not saying I understand your barking problems. I understand it. I'm not trying. But I'm just talking. We're working here on how we're going to control this. What kind of rules and laws we're going to make to get this thing done?
I can tell you what we do in plantations. We call the property manager. And we're allowed to call after hours, if you will, if we think it's an emergency. And then they take the responsibility to contact those people as soon as they can reach them, of course.
Yeah.
And then they remind them of the rules and the regulations. And if it's bad enough, then the board steps in and exercises its rights through the covenant, not only to fine, but to levy a lien on property if they own it.
In other words, you're going to tell the property owner, the ones leasing this property, the best way to make a law is say you can't have no dogs come, period.
Yeah, your tenant has to abide.
And that's within your, I don't know.
Yes, it's difficult.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Give these copies to someone?
Yes.
Won't you bring it right here?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Absolutely. Whoops. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue?
Chip, would you take the letters that are up here that she
one
left
more.
And
did you see a hand go up back there?
Yes. Did?
Yeah,
the
hand go up.
Sir.
Good morning. My name is Mr. Harris, and I live directly across the street from Carol and Connie, who already have been up here in Stable Farms in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I can attest to all the things they already said for the board. But I just wanted to ask Mr. Wilson something here with the he was asking them, well, don't you have something on your bylaws or association in reference to noise or a noise ordinance, which we do. But the problem is that the where this problem is coming from is directly behind their house, which is a different development. So there's a case right there where it doesn't matter what we have on our bylaws.
Sure.
It's what they have. And if there's that, then you have to get someone from their community to come forward and go after the offenders.
Okay. Thank you.
If you would, but you sign your name there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And is there anyone else that's that would like to speak on this issue today? Anyone else? Mr. President, at this point, we can conclude the public hearing on this matter. And if it's the pleasure of the council, you could close the record on at this point as well.
We will close the public hearing.
Yes.
Is everyone agreed to close the record?
May as well, yeah.
We will close the public record.
Yeah.
Mr. Moore, if you want to read the short title, we'll see if we're going to take any action today.
Okay, thank you.
What the council chooses.
Give me just a short second, please. An ordinance to adopt Chapter 97 of the Code of Sussex County entitled Excessive Dog Barking, which shall define excessive dog barking and create enforcement provisions and penalties for failure to comply with this chapter.
I move to adopt the ordinance.
I think, Mr. Cole, we have a question.
Yeah, I have a question. Mr. Moore?
Yes.
In the past, we've had some ordinances that we've tried to encourage in employment and business and different things, and we've put like a one-year time frame on adopting certain ordinances. My thoughts are, you know, there could be some concern with the council about enforcement and different things we've talked about, and again, we don't have a good history of doing this. Is it possible to amend this ordinance to say that the ordinance will last for 1 year? At the end of the 1 year, we will then have a report on the effectiveness of this ordinance. And we also, at the same time, it's like two-part request. The second part would be to also put on our website, as I asked earlier, a policy of what people should expect from the county in enforcement of this ordinance.
We're going to do
so
that
it's
anyway.
Clear. And but we put a one-year time limit and see how it works so that there's people in this county are concerned about excessive regulations. We'll find out if it's effective or not and give it a try. I mean, the only way we'll ever find out is to, you know, adopt an ordinance and see what happens.
I'm sure you could do that. However, any ordinance that we pass is always subject to council changing it at any time by introducing a new ordinance to amend it or to terminate it. So another
trouble.
Way mm-hmm. to do
yeah.
that, if you see that it's not working, mm-hmm. you could simply
yeah.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a one-year date on it, for example,
mm-hmm.
I know that there was some issues, I believe, with some moratorium.
Korea.
Then you have to make sure that it's on everyone's radar to come back to automatically extend that if you want it extended. Because if not, it would terminate, and you would have
right. I would hopefully our staff would be able to follow and track this particular ordinance, and again, we get a report back in 1 year on the effectiveness of the enforcement from the county, or its designee, and
you could ask
just
for
just have. I'm just saying, I'd hate to see the thing, rejected because of. Concerns that we don't have any concrete evidence if it'll end up that way, because other counties are doing it and seem to be fairly successful. And we always think things are different here in Sussex County, but maybe they're not too different. And I just thought that might be a way to get this over a hump to be maybe more acceptable to the majority of this council, because we would look at it for a one-year period and test the effectiveness of it, and have a report from Eddie or his designee, a year from now. Is there any other conversation with the rest of the council? I'm just.
I think it's a good idea.
Just to get a report.
Well, I would just put a 1 year.
No.
Limit on it.
No.
Okay.
It's a moratorium.
If we go to a year.
No, it's not a moratorium. It's just the.
Mr. Phillips has the floor.
Go ahead.
George, at the end of that year, if we want to renew it, will we have to go through the entire
Well, that would be something for the, that would be something that if it could be worded so that, I don't know. Like I say, I haven't gone that far. I'm just thinking if we could put a year's limit on it, have a report. Should we extend it? I would love to see an easy way to extend it without having to go through this again. I don't know. Is there any thoughts on that?
Do you need some time for the board to review that?
If we were proposing to do that, I would ask for a week in order to do that, for it to be put back on agenda, either just 1 week or 2 weeks with that amended language on that, if that's council's
pleasure. I personally couldn't support that. I just would need a consensus from the rest of us to see if that's something we want to do.
Put that in form of motion.
I move that we defer for 1 week to allow council to consider the ability, council SEL, the ability of this council, CIL, to limit this ordinance's effectiveness for 1 year, at which time we would review the ordinance and consider readopting it, I suppose, is what you're looking at, right?
Well, yeah. If
that's the motion, George.
I'd like to see it so we could do it easily.
Do we have a second?
You know what I'm trying to say?
I have a second, Mr. Wilson. Now we'd have a question and conversation. Mr. Cole?
No, I just think that this, at the end of the 1 year, I think Mr. Phillips alluded to, we want to make it so it would be very easy and not have to maybe go through the public hearing process, that we can extend it
if we choose to.
If we choose to, and make it permanent. So is there a way to do that, legally do that? I'd like to know. And then that would be, that's where I think where I've been trying to head with this, or go in that direction.
We have a motion and a second for Mr. Moore to research this and see if that's a possibility. Yeah, I think you've heard the conversation, know what they're after. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I can't vote for that because I've had so many people come to me for help with this. We're just asking for them to put up with it for another week. And there is so much there's so much testimony in favor of the bill I think it should be a normal bill like any other bill. No.
Mr. Cole? I'll vote yes, because I think the chances of getting this passed will be better. And I think most of the council then will be able to agree to a trial period and to see how it would work and how effective it is. And I think maybe if also we could see a conceptual policy of how enforcement would be proceeded, if that could be accompanied with this, that would be nice to do that. But I'll vote yes to defer.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes to defer. I agree with Mrs. Fish that it would be nice if we could have an arbitrator instead of creating new laws. I almost think that Mr. Whipple would be charged with first being an arbitrator before he becomes an arresting officer. But in any case, this motion is to defer, and I agree with Mr. Cole without a deferment. I'm not sure that we have 3 votes to pass the ordinance today.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And on the same subject, I assume, Mr. Lawson, the drawing up of the criteria, I guess is something you will come up with. We don't need an attorney, I assume, to do that. You can develop that and bring it back to us next week.
I think Eddie could help and put the heads together. Mr. Whipple probably could give some advice to that.
Mr. Whipple.
Did I say that?
I like that. Yeah.
Mr. Whipple. You're not even.
Thank you for coming down. Thank you for your testimony. Thank everybody for coming.
Your grandfather didn't live next to
Joe Wright.
Menace, did he?
Consultant selection of the North Coastal Planning Area.
And do you?